Asto. May there be.
May there be.
Ambuja Aksha.
Ambuja Aksha.
O Lotus Eyed One.
O Lotus Eyed One.
Mama.
Mama.
My.
My.
Te.
Te.
Your.
Your.
Chalana.
Chalana.
For the feet.
For the feet.
Anuraga.
Anuraga.
Steady attraction.
Steady attraction.
Atman.
Atman.
In yourself.
In yourself.
Ratasya.
Ratasya.
Who take your pleasure.
Who take your pleasure.
Mayi.
Mayi.
Toward me.
Toward me.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Anatirikta.
Anatirikta.
Not much.
Not much.
Drishte.
Drishte.
Whose glance.
Whose glance.
Yarhi.
Yarhi.
When.
When.
Asya.
Asya.
Of this universe.
Of this universe.
Vridaye.
Vridaye.
For the increase.
For the increase.
Upata.
Upata.
Assuming.
Assuming.
Raja.
Raja.
Of the mode of passion.
Of the mode of passion.
Atimatra.
Atimatra.
An abundance.
An abundance.
Mam.
At me.
Ikshase.
Ikshase.
You look.
You look.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Uha.
Uha.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Na.
Na.
For us.
For us.
Parama,
Parama,
the greatest,
greatest.
Anukampa,
Anukampa,
show of mercy.
Show of mercy.
Translation. O Lotus-Eyed One, though you are satisfied within yourself, and thus really turn your attention toward me, please bless me with steady love for your feet. It is when you assume a predominance of passion in order to manifest the universe that you glance upon me, showing me what is indeed your greatest mercy. Purport. In text 20 of this chapter, Lord Krishna stated, always satisfied within ourselves, we care nothing for wives, children, and wealth. Here, Rukmini Devi humbly replies, yes, you take pleasure within yourself, and therefore really look at me. In this regard, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti points out that Lord Krishna had already declared his love for Rukmini in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.53.2. Tataham api tachchito. Nidram chana labein she. I am always thinking about her, so much so that I cannot sleep at night. Lord Krishna is satisfied within himself, and if we remember that Srimati Rukmini Devi is his internal potency, we can understand that his loving affairs with her are expressions of his pure spiritual happiness. Here, however, Queen Rukmini humbly identifies herself with the Lord's external energy, which is her expansion. Therefore she says, though you do not often look at me, when you are ready to manifest the material universe, and thus begin to work through the material quality of passion, which is your potency, you glance at me. In this way, you show me your greatest mercy. Thus, Acharya Vishwanath explains that Goddess Rukmini's statement can be understood in two ways. And of course, the Vaishnavas, after thoroughly understanding the philosophy of Krishna from the bona fide Acharyas, simply relish these loving affairs between the Lord and his exalted devotee. Ast vambujaksha mamate charananuraga atman ratasya mai chanati rikta drishte yar yasya vridaya rupata rajoti matro mam ikshase taduhana paramanu kampa. O Lotus-Eyed One, though you are satisfied within yourself and thus really turn your attention toward me, please bless me with steady love for your feet. It is when you assume a predominance of passion in order to manifest the universe that you glance upon me, showing me what is indeed your greatest mercy. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stabitam Yena Bhutane Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vajkapa Turibhyas Chakrita Sindhubhya Vacha Paditanam Bhavane Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Brahma Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Jivasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So these interactions between Krishna and Rukmini, and we see, if we study the pastimes of Krishna, his interactions with his beloved devotees, and particularly on the higher levels, like she is the chief of the queens of Dwaraka, and then there are the gopis, we see also, even more so there, that often these relationships are not very straightforward. Not everything is so obvious. What is said sometimes could perhaps be taken in another way, which contradicts the apparent obvious message which is there in the statement. This is such a situation. So these loving pastimes are not so simple. They're not so simple. And they have different levels of reality. They're all different realities, but then sometimes they're in apparent contradiction with each other, but still we understand their realities. Even though apparently they may contradict each other sometimes in material life, people may try to do something like that. Like if people are trying to speak in code, or sometimes if someone is being sarcastic, then a person who's being sarcastic may say that, oh, you are such a nice person, but in such a way that there is no question of there being, you know, of that being the case. Actually, what the person is saying is that you are not a very nice person. And that, if we understand what is going on, we'll see that that is actually the statement, even though apparently it is a positive statement, friendly statement, but it's not. So that is different, because the person is saying sarcastically, oh, you are so nice, but that is not the reality at all, at least in terms of what he is the mood he is trying to express. But here we find that sometimes statements are made which are realities on one level, but then on another level they're also realities, but they contradict. They contradict. So like this. And sometimes they can be interpreted in a number of different ways, not just two. And so like this, the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and particularly the most intimate devotees, they're very complex, very sophisticated. Even though they may appear to be very simple, Krishna with the gopis, it appears He's a small cowherd boy. They're small cowherd girls. At those ages, people are not so sophisticated. And in fact, one of the problems of interactions between people who are that age, or maybe perhaps a little younger, is that they're too open in saying what they feel. They're too willing to insult and say something like that. So very simple and straightforward to the point of excessiveness. But Krishna, when he was in Vrindavan, he was only there up until the time of, he was less than 11 even. But still, there were so many interactions with the young gopis, which involved such complicated types of expression. So here, this point is being made that Srimati Rukmini Devi is acknowledging that even though you've said so many things, apparently against me, and, you know, like she may have been thinking that you rescued me from that situation where the various princes were well, particularly Shishupal, of course, wanted to marry her, and everyone was so much attracted by her, all the young men. They were so much attracted by her, and so of course, you know, any person, at least any person on the material platform, if they're surrounded by people who are expressing appreciation, and like in this case, these young men wanted to have her as their wife. So for a young woman to be in that situation where so many young men are coming forward, no, I want you, no, I want you, no. She could easily become puffed up and think, but I'm an extremely qualified woman. Look at these young boys, they're throwing themselves at my lotus feet. Who will I give my mercy to? And then in the middle of all that, Krishna came along and swept her away. The ultimate expression of appreciation just stole her away in front of everybody, and then fought. They're in a certain sense very good grounds for Rukmini to think, I must be a very important young woman. I must be extremely qualified. Good for me. But what did Krishna say? That really, when I took you away, it wasn't really a matter that I was attracted to you. My purpose was to curb the strength of the wicked. They were all rascal demons. My mission is to destroy the rascal demons. So it just so happened that they were all gathered there at that time. And so I took advantage of the situation. But really, I wanted just to kill them. That was the whole thing. And kidnapping you, well, you know, it was just a sort of, you know, a side issue. Because then in the following verse, which is referred to here, that was verse 19, the Lord says, actually, I don't even really care about wives. Of course, he already had 16,108. I don't really care for wives, or the children, or my money, or I don't care for anything. Why? Because I'm complete in myself. So, you know, well, it's okay. So, you know, in such a situation, some, in material terms, a person might feel cheated. that. You know, sometimes it happens in these court intrigues. There's some that some like a spy or comes along to some lady who is very well connected in the royal court and who has a lot of inside information. And that man comes along and expresses great love and affection to that woman, but actually just wants to get the inside information. He just wants to get the inside information. And he's using her to do that, and he doesn't care. And of course, when such a woman would find out that I was used in that way, then suddenly, surely, she'd become very angry and feel very bitter. But here we see Rukmini doesn't feel bitter at all. Quite the opposite. She is wholly and solely dedicated to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, without there being even a hint of any doubt about him and how he feels towards her and how she feels towards him. So this is very beautiful. This is the beauty of the... This is one of the most beautiful aspects of the love of the pure devotees. And we see it so much in these types of pastimes that there is no... that the integrity of their love is so strong, it's so deep, that there is no breaking point for their love. In other words, Krishna may do anything, run off with another girl or something, or run off with many other girls and do that repeatedly, and each time come back and say, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. But then he does it again, and then again, and again, and again, and repeatedly. And on the material platform, it's very unusual that a person will remain attached to their partner if the partner is repeatedly doing that, because there's a limit to their attachment. And at some point, they'll reach that limit and then reject the person. This type of thing will happen. But here we see this is love without limits. And there's a conversation between Lord Krishna and the gopis, where Krishna speaks that famous Na Paraye Hum verse, that I do not know how to repay your love, so therefore I will not even really try, because if I did try, it would be like just, you know, it would be improper, and it would be not really like an insult, but it would just be so clearly improper that it would be an embarrassment for me. So he told the gopis that you'll just have to be satisfied with your love and your service. That's all. I cannot do anything to reciprocate. So there's a whole discussion there about love on different levels. That, for example, one lover expresses his or her love very nicely, so naturally there would be reciprocation. In another situation, the lover is sometimes deviated from the loving relationship, but still the other person loves them. But Lord Krishna says that when there is every reason to reject the lover, there's every good reason, but still the lover is not rejected, and, well, the two. The one is not rejected despite there being every good reason to reject that one. But the second does not reject them. And what to speak of not rejecting them, but remains affectionate and loving towards the one to the same degree. This is pure love. This is pure love, Krishna says. Not like, you know, of course you may not be so familiar, but the former president, I think, of America, Mr. Clinton, was famously unfaithful to his wife, apparently, and, you know, really like to a quite an extraordinary degree, but somehow or other she stuck with him, and she does, she has stuck with him to this day. Why, who knows, but we can understand that when all these things started coming to light, it must have been a challenge for her. It must have been a challenge, but somehow she came through. But Krishna says there that in such a situation where there's every good reason to break the relationship and to lose one's affection for the beloved, but one actually remains attached to them and loves them as much as before. Not just sort of hanging in there and maintaining the relationship, but actually the degree of affection is not affected. That is pure love. So this we see in these relationships, and it's very amazing. And it shows, if we look at it a little carefully, then it shows the frailty of material so-called love and affection, and the depth of, and the incomparable transcendental nature of transcendental love and affection is really in a totally different dimension. It is not just the same thing increased, but it is really in another dimension. It is in the transcendental dimension. So Lord Krishna, as you read, he gave so many reasons why Rukmini should reject him. And like this. And from certain perspectives, they may be reasonably good reasons, if not to reject him, at least to not take him so seriously. But Rukmini's affection was not touched. It was not affected. In fact, she, as the idea became clearer and clearer in her mind, that Krishna was apparently really suggesting that she should actually reject him now, she became so overwhelmed with fear and that, like the anticipation of separation, that she fainted. Like, what did it say? She fainted and fell to the ground like a great palm tree just falls straight to the ground. You know, not like we offer our dandavats straight on the ground, but we sort of, you know, make our way down. Once I saw a devotee actually go, bang! And he really made a bang noise, and he hurt himself, he hurt his chin. And just some weeks ago, I was watching a drama, and someone also offered their dandavats like that. But he was quite an athletic type. He caught himself on his hands as he was just coming down. And so, you know, there was no real impact. Although he did go down straight. But she just fell down. Bang! Just like a palm tree which is blown over by a storm, not sort of crumpling down. So she was very deeply affected. She could not see any reality, any possibility for existence separate from Krishna as he was suggesting. And she also did not doubt that Krishna actually had affection for her, because he had already said that. In the commentary, it's referred to here as a statement from some chapters before, that he was so feeling so much love for Rukmini that he could not sleep at night. And this is actually the case, that the Lord, in his mood of love for his devotees, when he becomes absorbed in thinking of some particular devotee, then he becomes unable to sleep at night. So now, Rukmini, Krishna, as we mentioned in that verse 19, Krishna said that you know, I didn't kidnap you for you. I kidnapped you in order to agitate all these kings so that there would be some pretense for fighting them and killing them, because they needed to be killed anyway, and that's part of my mission. But I just didn't want to walk in there in the middle of them and start decapitating them. We had to create a situation of a battle, then we can kill them. Otherwise, you know, it's sort of like unprovoked aggression in a certain sense. Therefore I kidnapped you. And then they got all irritated. Then I could fight with them and kill them. That was really why I did it. So she is saying, on one hand she's saying that, you know, I do understand that you actually do love me, and it's not just like I was a convenient excuse for creating a fight. I do understand that you love me. On the other hand, she's expressing very humble mood, as mentioned here, that what form of mine do you take some interest in, even though you do not have real interest? I mean, on a personal level. But in terms of your duty, you take an interest in. But in terms of your real interest, like your heart, you have no real interest in, but you do anyway. So who is that? A form of mine. So that, of course, that is Durga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the time for material creation comes, he glances over the material nature. Durga Devi. Otherwise he doesn't even look at her. As Vyasadeva said in the first canto, when he was instructed by Narada and then developed his realization of Krishna more, then he had his realization, he saw Krishna, he saw everything. He saw the spiritual realm, the devotees, different forms of the Lord. Then he said he saw Maya, who was standing at a distance, neglected, and feeling very embarrassed, so she was herself withdrawing. Because Durga, the material energy, she knows I have this thankless task, this actually very unpleasant task of taking those people who are adverse to my Lord and making them more adverse and facilitating their being adverse and encouraging them to be adverse. What sort of service is that? That's terrible. So she feels too embarrassed. So she stays at a distance. And she is at a distance anyway, because the Lord is not interested in getting involved on the material platform at all. He is interested in his spiritual pastimes. So therefore, the material realm is also in that sense a long way away from the Lord. But then, sometimes, the Lord glances. Briefly glances. He just glances and injects the living entities and various other component factors of material existence. But when he glances, it's not like he stares. We've mentioned before when we first went to India, 1976, sometimes we would get these people who'd never seen foreigners before, and they would stand and stare for like 5-10 minutes. Just stare. So it's not like the Lord stares at the material energy and he just glances. The term is glance. And glance, of course, is just a very passing type of look. But still, when he does that, Durga, who otherwise is neglected, and who otherwise is also feeling very bad herself, about herself, but when he glances and that contact is there, then she feels gratified and somewhat satisfied. And as Rukmini says here, then I feel I have achieved your greatest mercy on me. When you glance, and it is not like very often, is once every so many million years, very briefly, he glances. But even though it's so infrequent and just very brief, but still she feels, how fortunate I am. So like this in different ways, we can see, looking at these statements and the whole incident in different ways, then we can appreciate different aspects of different things actually, of Krishna, his relationships, Rukmini, her relationship with the Lord, the ways they interact. And like this, we can get some little insight into the very amazing nature of these relationships. Any comment or question?
I just wanted to thank you for reading the closing words. You're saying that you can get a little impact that I was just feeling. I was trying to write the notes, couldn't keep up. The insight that you're providing in the different relationships that are there, it's really amazing that on the surface, you look at really the general surface, we hardly much one can see, except maybe some material composition. So, I was very happy with the examples you gave according to what I know.
Thank you for being a priest.
You quoted some of the language about the Kripa Krishna when he said it was to the gopis when he said he could never retrieve them for much of love. So my question is, how come the Lord can never retrieve anything to his devotees? But in the lives of Sri Prahlad Maharaj, we can see that he gave them so much also.
See, the thing is, in the case of the gopis, he felt he couldn't repay them. But it's not that he... That's not the case with everyone. And actually, he can repay the gopis. But as a person, in his humility and sincerity, he's feeling he can't. And this is part... another aspect of the loving exchange. He is God. Of course he can repay. He can repay many times over. But he feels, as a person, he feels like that. This is part of the loving exchange. And the gopis, they were thinking, well, how are you going to repay us? What you're going to do for us now? No. They were already feeling totally satisfied by whatever interactions, you know, from his side, his expressions of affection. And they were already feeling the same way, that who are we? How did we get to have the association of Krishna? You know, What mercy is this? It's just we cannot understand. This is all part of the, you know, there are so many different factors and aspects in the loving relationships. And there's no question of understanding all of it in, you know, like in one reading, or even in 10, or even in 100. But each step, I mean, like each reading, say, then one can understand another aspect, and then another. And, you know, of course, as time goes on and you get more and more realizations and so on, then obviously your understanding has increased. But one part of the increase is that you understand that there is more here that I have not understood. And then you read again, you get more understanding. And then you understand, well, there's even more here that I don't understand. So, it is a great ocean, and our goal is to drown in that ocean. Not to find the limit of it. Okay, here's the limit. What's next? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.